Right on. Well, we are jumping into March, and when we started doing some research on March, can you guess what's on everybody's mind?
Maybe March Madness is my guess.
Close, but no.
Okay.
Taxes coming up. Money. Lord, April 15th.
I don't do this podcast to think about real world examples.
You would think it'd be March Madness, but financial issues coming up for tax day. Yes. You'd think that'd be for April, but not so. Mm. So this one is going to be called Financial Faithfulness, you know, the handling money God's way.
Yeah.
So our first segment is the spiritual perspective of money. And I'm always a big fan of that misquoted scripture, money's the root of all evil.
Yes.
And that is incorrect. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Being in a bad position or priority in our lives make money very, very difficult to control.
Yeah. Well, it's so much of our culture revolves around money, whether it's, you know, basic needs, groceries, that kind of stuff, or once of, you know, we just had Valentine's Day pass and, you know, all the Valentine's Day chocolates now and half off sale. So, you know, hey, stock up when you can.
Right. But you buy next year's.
Yeah, now. Right. Okay. But so much of our society revolves around, you know, money in good and bad avenues of wants or desires and needs kind of thing. So it's one of those really tricky conversations that I think needs to happen more openly, because if you don't keep it in check, that love of money will spring up on you. And the next thing you know, you're not looking at what can I use, you know, God's money to glorify the kingdom.
Sure.
It is, well, I need to save to buy that new Lamborghini that just came out in purple.
That Lambo?
Yeah, that Lambo.
Okay.
Go next to my Ferrari. So I think it's interesting to see how these kind of conversations don't happen very often with finances, because even of the churches that we've attended over, you know, the decades, it almost feels like a taboo topic. Like,
sure,
whenever a church is like, all right, we're doing the finances, or the F word is finances today, or the tithing sermon, it's like, when did it become a like taboo topic to talk about giving back, or the importance of being good stewards with our money?
Sure.
And that we like, oh, we can't talk about it. Because you see that in workplaces too. That's a big thing. Don't talk about your wages with other people. It's interesting that both it can be such an important topic of, you know, personal value for some people, but also no one wants to talk about it. Like, don't talk about your money. I won't talk about my money. And we'll be okay.
I think what makes it a little taboo is when you start to try to tell people how they should spend or not spend their money. And, you know, churches try to avoid this, even though you and I do work with churches across the country. There would be no physical building without some revenue coming in to pay the insurance, the lights, the mortgage. People attending church, they don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
You don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as we focus on one of the pain points of a world obsessed with wealth and material success, the did you know, right? Despite the importance of budgeting, a survey suggests, I sound like Family Feud.
Yeah.
Survey says that 33% of American households do not maintain a written or digital budget.
I believe that. I think I'm going to generalize this stat, because I just heard recently, I don't get the exact number, but it was talking about the student loans that just kind of activated back in October of last year.
Right.
It was just, the lady was talking about percentages of people who had not given a single payment for the last, I guess, was that 6 months? And it was like 80% of people who had student loans were not paying them in any capacity.
Oh boy.
Their reasoning was spite. I don't know how that works for them, but, you know, hey, do what you want to do, I guess. But I totally believe. I'm surprised that number is not higher, honestly. I'm surprised.
So that means that, you know, 66% don't have budgets. 33% do have budgets in some fashion, which is as we move through some of the material here, you will see that, that should be probably like 5% have budgets, because we don't spend like we have budgets. Or our discretionary money is really misplaced sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what God's view of money. So exploring some of the teachings around wealth and possessions, we are pointed to Luke 12, 13 through 21, the parable of the rich fool.
Mm.
This poor guy. Forever he'll be known as the rich fool.
Oh, yeah.
So this is about a man who is looking to build larger barns for his crops and is told, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" The poor rich fool. You know, I'm kind of a planner by nature. You know, Mom is for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's a bad thing to be planning, like, say, retirement or savings or where you're going to spend your money. But I do think there's a lesson to be had there when you're obsessed with your resources and you don't give any consideration that this is God's money. Is this glorifying his kingdom? Is it growing the kingdom? And I think that's where we get into some trouble.
Right. Well, I mean, we talk about this parable a little bit later on, so a little sneak peek for you. But, I mean, it reminds me a lot of the three workers they give the money to, and that one that just digs it in the hole and is, like, so terrified of it.
Right.
It's like when money is so important to you that the thought of losing it and you only want to focus on gaining money— you see that, I don't know. I mean, you look at that from, I look at that from the perspective of, and I used to be this way because I was very stingy with any kind of finances, that everything becomes a tally mark, right? Like, oh, do you want to go out to eat? Well, that is X amount of dollars. I don't like that. We can't do that.
Sure.
And so obviously that's a non-biblical basis thing. But when we have this money and we're like, we're hoarding it for the wrong reasons instead of using it to glorify God and to give back to his kingdom. And it becomes an idol. I mean, it's terrifying how many things that we've talked about in this podcast that can become an idol so easily.
Yeah. We're not saying that you want to go on vacation, man, go on vacation. Mm-hmm. You want to go off for out to eat, buy yourself an old pair of shoes, go for it. It's when we don't know where the cliff is or don't care where the cliff is. And we just, so what if I have 27 pair of shoes? I want another one.
Yeah.
Or I just bought me another car that I'll never get my butt cheeks in, but like once a quarter. Okay, well, you know, I guess do you, I guess. Mm. It's important for us to always pass, I think, our finances through that God lens, make sure that we are doing things. If you can't focus on yet, does it glorify God and does it grow the kingdom, at least pass it through. Am I being a good steward with it?
Right.
Am I wasting it? Am I hoarding it? Is it in the wrong position in my life? And so I think that is the angle we're trying to talk about, because understanding our roles as stewards of God's resources is how we talk about money. How often do you hear someone say, my money or our money versus God's money, God's resources? And if you start to change that verbally, I think you'll start to change that mentally as well.
Mm. I mean, I feel like it's somewhat freeing to think of this as not my money, because, I mean, that's a joke, more money, more problems. But I mean, all those things come with stress and anxiety, whether you have enough for this, do I have enough for that, or did I blow too much on this, or, you know, I need to do this and XYZ.
Sure.
So I think it's interesting too, because it's kind of like the talking about our money or my money. I see this often with, like there's some couples that I've met over my life that where when they get married, they get together kind of thing. It's always like, well, that's her money. That's his money.
Sure.
And
separate accounts.
Right. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with separate accounts, but it was sure. always like, well, I bought the couch and he bought the microwave. And it was kind of like keeping tally marks of everything in the house. And I thought it was like, it was such a petty level of like, well, if I ever got to walk away, I'm taking my stuff with me.
Right. And who that does was, more?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And so like when we talk about it's nobody's money and it's just God's money, I think that takes away, you know, a little bit like, okay, so what did you bring to the table? Cool. All right. Kind of thing. And that takes it off of both your shoulders and hopefully makes that relationship stronger. Cause we always talk about any kind of relationship should have God at the center.
Yes.
So when you guys move towards each other, you're moving towards God.
Correct. Correct. We were just having this conversation about an hour ago about a prayer request that came over. And one of the first things we talk about is, where is God at in your marriage? You know, where are you in your walk, you and your spouse and all that? So that can be applied to our finances because if one person is really focused on money and the other person is not, I think it's going to be challenging to have a conversation around money because one is just unconcerned. Mm-hmm. Well, the bills get paid and I'm able to go buy whatever I want. The other person's like, you are spending too much or we don't make enough or whatever. So getting on the same page financially is a great first step. And so some practical steps to align our finances with our faith, budgeting, giving, and investing from a Christian perspective. Being good stewards of God's blessings will change how we save, give, and spend money. And I think we do lip service to some of that. And, you know, I heard a preacher say years and years ago, actually I didn't hear, but someone told me and says, you show me your checkbook. This is how old it is. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you your heart. You know, you look at where you spend your money, and I'll tell you where your interests are.
Yeah.
Because if it's in tithing, if it's in support of a great ministry like Uncommon, plug here, a missionary, whatever, buying Bibles for a school in Uganda, that's great. If it's only about us, it's saying something.
Right.
My question is always wrong, but it's saying something. And I think that's a conversation we all should have with God.
Yeah. And, you know, this kind of pendulums back and forth a lot because some people hear the financial conversation about giving and they go, oh, well, I don't have enough money to even think about giving. And then that sparks pushback on that side. And I would point you towards the woman who gave the 2 pennies.
Boy, we saw that coming. We got you in the next couple of segments. So,
and then you have the opposite side, people who are like, well, I have enough money to spend on whatever I want, and now it's time to treat myself kind of thing. Right. So, again, in all things, it's in moderation. But, you know, the same way that, you know, we are always being molded to be more like Christ every day, your money should come secondary to your main goal, which is following Christ's example in the Bible.
Sure.
If you don't know what to do with your money, read the Bible. There's plenty of examples in there of how Jesus handled money and what he told us to do with it.
Yes.
So I always think back to when I was in high school and we did soccer a lot as rec leagues. And it was the whole battle cry was always, we are not soccer players who happen to be Christians. We are Christians who play soccer. And so that applies to everything. We wouldn't be, we are Christians who are graphic designers. We are Christians who are mechanics. We are Christians who have money. I think that is a good way to look through all this, that, you know, God's example in the Bible and how we handle everything from money to budgeting, tithing, how we have conversations about money and kindness and grace should always be through that lens of being a Christian first.
Yeah, because there'll be times when you have an abundance. There'll be times when, well, you don't have two nickels rubbed together.
Right.
So our verse here is Matthew 6:24.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Mm. Interesting. Interesting indeed. Well, our this is our first segment. We're going to have some sponsors coming up that have generously given to what we feel is a great cause that grows the kingdom. We wanted to mention to you that we have a challenge for you. We're running a $10 challenge. That means that we're asking everybody that follows Uncommon. If you don't, then this is not for you probably. But if you follow Uncommon to find value here, $10 one time. We need 3,000 people to give $10 one time. You'd be surprised how far that goes in a ministry. Remember when I said about the churches, keeping the lights on, paying a mortgage? This goes toward that. So be sure to check out our website. You can give $10 one time there. And be sure to check out our sponsors and our break. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, segment two. Joshua, take it away.
So we are focusing a little bit more on the power of generosity in this next section, kind of just exploring this identity of what it means to be generous, balancing the personal needs of generosity for other people, as well as, you know, just daily life and what that kind of takes to uphold, whether it's providing for your family, loved ones, and et cetera. But so for the stat for this section was talking about approximately 59% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, according to recent studies. And I heard a great quote recently that is in a similar vein of this. So there's the paycheck to paycheck, which is, you know, very common in America right now. But there is the health emergency to large vacation that talks about people who maybe have a little bit in the bank, but if they ever had like a large medical emergency or went on a too big vacation, they'd be out of money.
Oh, wow.
And so now it's interesting to see these different like levels of like, not quite paycheck to paycheck, but definitely not flush with cash, kind of somewhere in between that. Well, you broke your leg. Well, you're kind of done for. That uses up your savings to kind of cover that. So it definitely is. We talk about pain points. That's definitely painful to read that and see just the not everyone's able to give to the levels they probably want to give. I'm sure that's very frustrating. Oh, sure.
Well, Bible says, you know, Lord loves a cheerful giver. Mm. And there are ways to give that may not even include money.
Yeah.
Your time, your effort, service, that type thing. If you just only write a check to grow the kingdom, you're missing this boat. Yeah. This is not what this is about. This is a condition of the heart of... So this section is about being generous. And I say this, I don't mean pat myself on the back, but I'm very generous to a point of, Mom's got to pull me back sometimes with that. I'm sorry. But I remember as a kid, my dad was selling a canoe. And he was out of town for the weekend, and he said, the guy's going to come by tomorrow and take a look at it. I don't know. It was like $40, $60 for this little canoe. Mm-hmm. Could have been too great of a canoe. Now think about it. The guy showed up, and he stuttered. And for some reason, if you want to take my money, you show up and you stutter. And I see you're struggling kind of thing. Oh, my goodness. I can't get my wallet out fast enough or give you some. You know, it's just a weird thing. So I gave him the canoe. I mean, I even said, yeah, it's free. It's free. Just take it kind of thing. I was like, I don't know, 16 at the time. Yeah, so I probably didn't have the money to do that, but I just gave it to him. But you could see that there are opportunities that we have to be generous. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't require $1,000. I mean, we'll see in these examples that it's giving out of sacrifice instead of out of abundance. Mm-hmm. Person making $250,000 a year, write a check for $100, I'm not quite sure you're feeling that.
Yeah.
I mean, that you don't even recognize that sacrifice. Person making $10,000 a year, they probably feel $100 a whole lot different.
Yeah.
And so we're just saying, look for those opportunities of generosity that glorify God, because the dollar amount does not matter. It's the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah. I've always looked at the idea of giving time, talents, and treasures. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about a lot of finances in here, but that's not in your, you know, in the budget or your ability.
Sure.
During the time frame, my wife and I were having a lot of health problems, and she wasn't able to get up and do anything. We had plenty of people that come by just to give us food. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like Wagyu burgers and, you know, sushi. It was, you know, chicken noodle soup or, you know, casseroles. And that was a huge blessing to us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the heart ultimately defines what you do and what you give. And if it's coming out of I'm checking this off my monthly budget of $100,
sure,
or I'm checking this off because I need to give because the Bible tells me so. If that's your motivation and not, you know, I get to give to the church or I get to give, you know, God's money or give this to God's goals, then I think that's an issue of the heart, and that's something that's between you and God, and you need to kind of have a conversation about that.
Yeah, I think you miss out on a blessing when you check a box and just say, well, fine, I gave. It's like, really? That's the goal you were going for, huh?
Right.
So this is one little verse we want to read, Mark 12:41-44. It's about the woman and her offering.
Mm-hmm.
So the widow's offering, they sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put large sums, and a poor widow came and put two small copper coins, which makes a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said, truly I say to you, this poor woman has put in more than all those are contributing to the offering box, for they are contributing out of the abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, and she had to live on, that she had to live on. And that's something that probably no one listening to this podcast is giving their last two pennies towards something. It might feel that way. You might feel that, oh my goodness, I cannot give. I get pitched to, they say you get sold to 3,000 times a day between ads you see on social media, two guys on a podcast talking about ministry stuff, TV commercials, all that. So we get it. We understand that. We would say to that, prioritize that to what would glorify God.
Mm.
And so if that shakes out 99% of what you're exposed to, then great. Then focus on that 1% and see what glorify God the most.
Mm.
And so the impact of generosity on personal faith and community, how giving shapes our character and affects those around us. I know that when we used to volunteer as a family, one, I wanted to serve, but also give a perspective that there were those less fortunate than us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a bigger fish,
yeah,
and there's always a smaller one. And so when we would come back from some of those service opportunities, seeing people living in cardboard boxes behind a Walmart, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to see that. I think no matter the age you are, just knowing that even if you could help everyone out there, that just there's no chance to.
Yeah.
And so what little we can do, you feel the desire to do that much more.
Sure.
I know that growing up doing that as a family, I think definitely made us stronger as a family. But like you said, I think we get so hung up on the idea of like, oh, well, person A makes three times as much as I do. That sucks for me. Mm. Not thinking that my situation, do I have a roof over my head?
Sure.
Do I have a job? Do I have a family that loves me? There's 10,000 people in my direct vicinity that only have a fraction of that.
Sure.
That it's so easy to be like, oh, well, I want to be up here making this much or doing these things. And it's much easier to ignore the people below you.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times when, you know, when we buy a vehicle, we keep that thing until, like, the wheels are ready to fall off. They're like, you know, can I please stop? And so when we purchased a vehicle a few years back, the salesperson is like, well, you want to buy this. It'll be good for a couple of years before you buy your next one. I'm like, what? He said, well, nobody keeps their vehicles like more than like 2 or 3 years anymore. I'm like, well, maybe in your world of selling cars every day, but in my world, I'm trying to find something that's going to last me at least a decade.
Challenge accepted.
Right. I mean, if it's not lasting me a decade, I have failed in some way. So
duct tape is a wonderful thing.
So I think that as we look into practical ways to cultivate a generous heart, from tithing to volunteering, we often say we just have no time in the day. But the average watch time of TV.
Oh, no.
5 hours a day. I was actually surprised. Now, it does not count screen time.
Right, that's just
this is just watching TV.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd say most people probably spend way more time on their phone from checking social media,
sure.
TikTok, Instagram, just surfing on your web. So TV time, actually, that sounds about right, because I'd imagine that you break that up from phone screen time to computer screen time to iPad, Kindle, all that kind of stuff. That's probably where a lot of people suck a lot of time into.
Sure. I mean, there's times when that, you know, you just sit down and you're like, I'm just going to watch a football game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 3+ hours.
Yep.
You watch a movie, that's like 2 kind of thing. Now, we're not saying, again, you should punch out of work and then run down to the homeless shelter until the next morning you punch back into work.
Right.
But from a culture that struggles with their finances and priorities, we may want to just think about how much time to actually invest. And that would kind of be comparable to managing our finances. We just don't have enough money.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money. End of the month, I have no money. And we say that as we're holding a Starbucks, or we call it a $4 coffee. or we, you know, find ourselves in another shoe store.
Mm.
So a couple years ago, Mom was buying me a pair of Adidas at an outlet store. Here I am trying to get a deal on some shoes. And this gentleman who was buying shoes at this place was carrying bags, and I mean bags, of tennis shoe boxes, inside bags. Nikes, Adidas, I forget a couple other ones he had in there. He must have been carrying like 9 bags of shoe bags. They're big.
Mm.
They had at least 2. I had to count the number of feet he had at least 4 times. I'm like, how many feet do you have? So we do have more than we think we do.
Mm.
We just don't want to part with it.
Yeah.
So
I think when I went to college, that first welcome seminar, I remember they sat us down at some point in the large auditorium, and they had this breakdown of the time of day, and they were like,
I was in with you.
Yeah, and we made fun of it because it was stupid, because they broke it down of like, you know, here's your time in class, and here's your time in eating, and here's your time in groups, and here's your time for homework. And they were like, based on this scale, you have, I don't know,
it's like 15 hours free time a week.
Yeah, something like that. And I remember looking around, looking for other guys, going, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Because I even asked you the question. I'm like, you think you're going to have that much free time each week? And you're like, no.
And I didn't. I know, like, so, like, you know, choosing time, whether it's time budgeting or financial budgeting, obviously you need to budget that with yourself in mind, because what works for someone else may not work for you. But that being said, the extremes are not what you want to aim for. You want to aim for sustainable goals of financial giving and timing. And I know it is very easy to fall in a trap of, like, me and my wife fell into this trap a couple months back. We were trying to get out of it. Of, I get home, she gets home from work, we're tired, we don't want to cook. Well, let's just get some DoorDash. I don't really want to have to cook, spend time, and then that's, you know, more money spent out the drain. Or just trying to get back in a rhythm of making sure we're making time for, you know, our Bible studies and our, sure, and our church services and our, you know, service opportunities, that it's very easy to fall out of habit and it's much more difficult to climb back into. But sure, if you are kind of cognizant of those changes, I think it's much easier to catch yourself from slipping.
Yeah, I think that we all have those areas that we need in our lives to kind of pamper ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're like me, you work hard for, you know, your wages, and so you would like a little bit of time to maybe go out, mm-hmm, once in a while to have something to eat. As with everything, moderation, obviously. Mm-hmm. And usually when someone says that, it's in mockery of that statement, because yeah, they have no intention of doing everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Now, our verse here, 2 Corinthians 9:7, says that exact thing. It, mm-hmm, is kind of like God knew we were coming.
Right.
Let me pull this up. I didn't know if you had that on your Bible there.
I do find it interesting that, while you're looking that up, yeah, that sometimes I find that you may need an external person to kind of help keep you honest in some of these areas. I knew guys in college that would blow money on just the most inconsequential thing and then complain all the time about, well, I can't find a place to stay or rent when I get out of college, once I get kicked out of dorms, or right, I want to move out and I can't because I can't afford it. And then they'll turn around and go, well, I just spent $100 at the bar last week, and I just bought myself a new car, or I bought myself, you know, X, Y, and Z thing. And sometimes I think it takes an external person saying, dude, you're blowing your money on stuff you don't need. Because sometimes we rationalize a lot of things.
Oh, sure. Self-justification.
Yeah. And so we rationalize, oh, well, as much as you pampering yourself is fine, but using the rationale of, I deserve this new car when I have a secondary car or my current car works fine, that's when it becomes a problem.
Right.
And so we talk a lot about a community on this podcast and as a whole as a ministry. And so having an accountability partner that can kind of keep, sure, you honest is really important. And if you feel comfortable with that, letting them know about your financial situation, keeping you honest with that, is probably real helpful if you struggle in that area.
And I got to say, is if someone ever approached you about, they're like, hey, I need an accountability partner for my finances, that is a tough role, because you're going to be the bad guy 100% of the time.
Yep.
Like, hey, I'm buying another llama this weekend. And so try talking that person down. It's a little bit tough.
Yeah.
So our verse was verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God does not need our money or resources or service, but he is owed that, I believe. And so so that's our segment 2. We want to mention to you our newsletter. If you have not signed up for our newsletter, we send out a newsletter every Saturday, noon Eastern, with a couple of our articles and devotions and our podcast and that kind of thing that we feel is a great resource to help people where they are. This podcast right now is focused on finances. We just finished one on Love Like Jesus, and then one before that was mental health.
Yeah.
So we're kind of all over the board when it comes to topics, because we're men. We kind of feel we have a, you know, kind of a inside seat to the struggles that men go through. And so this newsletter touches on a few things that we feel is a good resource. So be sure to check it out at uncommon.org. And on the break, be sure to listen to our generous sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner, delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, our last segment for this podcast is trusting God in financial uncertainty. Mm. Now, what makes the talk of money even harder than being willing to use it wisely or save it or give it away is what happens when things become scarce. Mm. You lose your job. You don't make as much money as you need to. You go get a second job. You get hurt, sick. You get laid off. All these things. How do we maintain faith and trust in God during financial hardships? Wow. That is a pain point that all should be, all of it should be in bold. Mm-hmm. So a survey found that 25% of U.S. adults don't have any emergency savings. Yeah. Among those who do have savings, only have 40% that can cover unexpected $1,000 expense with their savings. Now, we started off where we went to a one-income family when after we had you, and we've always taken the hard road, I felt like. Single-income family, then we started our own business, and on. So, like, wow. Stressful indeed. But you could see that 25% is not very many people that could absorb not just 6 months of not working. This is a $1,000 expense. That's four tires.
I'm trying to think of any medical thing that we've gone through the past 4 years that was under $1,000. I'm just thinking, no, that was over. That was 10. No. Okay.
That's a Big Mac at McDonald's right now.
At least two, I think. But,
yeah. So you can see that it's challenging to know and handle money when we have some. Mm. It's even more difficult when we don't have enough.
Right.
Right. Cause you're like, well, I'm sorry, TJ, I can't donate to Uncommon. I barely pay my bills now.
Yeah.
You know what? Pray for us then.
Yeah.
That's a great place to start. Pray for us. Pray for your church. You can't help them financially. Pray for them. How about serve? Mm-hmm. Go serve that they don't have to pay someone to do it. Because we're talking about that sometimes our church needs to pay musicians to play. And so, I mean, thank God for those musicians, but I'm sure that, you know, has to come out of the budget in some fashion. Right. Sometimes it may not be planned for.
Yeah.
So our talking point around biblical stories is Elijah and the widow of, I'm going to butcher this word, Zarephath.
We'll go with that one there.
In 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16. I'll let you read that on your own. But it was about the prophet was asking the lady, Elijah was asking Zarephath to use her last bit of flour and oil to make bread. Again, this element feels like I need you to give the last of everything, right?
Yeah.
And so when I read that, and you can read it again yourself, 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16, God is not trying to kill us by using the last of what we have. But it is a metaphor. Are we willing to give our whole self for his use?
Yeah.
And he knows that money is a big stumbling block.
Right.
And so him asking and challenging us to use our money wisely, maybe give it to someone in need, like Elijah. The story goes on that oil and flour never ran out. It kept going. Mm-hmm. And so we can't see that on one side of the equation.
Yeah.
The other side happens after you actually do what God has called you to do.
Right. I think it's telling that there's so many parables and from Jesus telling parables or stories in the Bible of involving giving, whether that's food or financial. It's almost like God knew that was going to be a problem for us.
Sure.
I mean, we just, whether it's the woman giving the penny, or the rich guy coming to him and saying, well, you need to give everything away.
The rich young ruler.
You know, it reaches the gambit. And I think it's helpful and discouraging slightly that God had to keep telling us, just like the Israelites. I hate the Israelites because they kept doing things against God, but I'm just in the same boat they
Israelites
are.
Israelites like, yeah, exactly. Not so easy, is it?
Right.
Not so easy.
That every story in the Bible, or there's a lot of stories in the Bible that just keep touching this topic because, you know, God knew we needed constant reoccurring instruction on, well, all right, Lord, well, I don't have just two pennies or a penny to give. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of stuff. So what do I do? You don't have a parable for that. Well, oh, I got you here.
Right.
You got to give it all away.
Right.
So I find it interesting that between finances and giving and just all that kind of stuff, that there's so many stories we can pull from. And even the ones that we're mentioning here today are just a small fraction of the ones that you can find in the Bible and, you know, do deeper research. But when all else fails, finding different ways that you can give back to the kingdom of God, I think ultimately, whether that is time, treasure, or talents, really is the focus of this podcast today.
So I'll share something that you may not notice, I don't think. So this is like probably 20 years ago. Kmart, like Walmart, Kmart, went bankrupt. They were going to like lower, I mean, it was like their stock just like dropped.
Mm.
And I was telling my father-in-law, I'm like, this is when you buy. They're too big to go away. They're going to restructure, and they're going to just, you know, it'll come back up. So if you buy, like, I don't know, it was like under a dollar for a stock. I'm like, if we bought, like, say, 300 shares of stock, even if it went to $10, I mean, it's a great buy. Little did I know. I did not go to Warren Buffett School of Financing, but little did I know that when they can just, like, you know what? That stock no longer exists. We're going to just make new stock. Let's print some new money. And so all that went poof into the sky. I say that because investing in the kingdom of God, you'll never have a story like that. You'll never have a bad investment story of, you know, I helped some school in Uganda, Kenya, down the block. Mm. It doesn't matter. You have to, you know, have to go travel someplace to help someone. You'll never have a bad story if you invest in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I think finding peace in God's provision, cultivating a mindset of trust and reliance on God is a great first step, because while you're right, we can't make this change on our own, but God has to make a change in our heart first.
Right.
And so here's some practical tips for financial wisdom. I think Dave Ramsey's ears just perked up when I use financial wisdom. Develop a budget that works for you. If you don't have one, develop one that works for you. Start someplace. Make a list of your spending habits, which should be sobering. If it's not, you are not listing everything.
There's an ad I get a lot. I think the plug or the app's called
Rocket.
Rocket, yeah, it's the Rocket one that keeps money. Track of all your things. The fact there's an app that keeps track of that for you, because we don't keep track of it ourselves, is a great window into how that works.
Exactly, and I was going to say, get an app to help you identify where you waste money, because there are probably things, subscriptions. There's things you have two Netflix accounts, you just don't know it, and then also don't buy on emotion, and don't use buying something to cope with depression.
Retail therapy.
Anxiety, yes. There are all kind of things out there, but it definitely boils down to a heart condition. It's got to start there. And so our verse as we end this segment is Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And so I hope that we've touched on a little bit of something that would encourage you and also challenge you. That's our focus this year, encouraging and challenging. It doesn't do any good if we just encourage, don't give you any kind of application. And it doesn't do any good if we just always challenge you with awesome encouragement. So hopefully this has been both.
Yeah. And so if you're going to be something, you better be uncommon.